It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The clock's ticking on a big defense deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. British lawmakers are warning the U.S. unless America agrees to share sensitive technology, Britain could pull out of a multi-billion dollar defense agreement. The deadline is the end of the year. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The F-35 Joint Strike Fighter is the world's most expensive military project, costing more than $250 billion. The Pentagon will take 2,400 of the planes. Britain, a junior partner in the project, wants 138, but that order is in jeopardy. The British Parliament's Defence Committee has called for it to be cancelled unless the Americans release enough technical information that the Brits can operate the planes independently. President Bush has already agreed to this demand. So what's the problem? James Boxall of the Financial Times.
There are still elements within Congress and also within industry who are concerned about some of this very, very specialised and high-value technology and are reluctant to let that go to the UK.
A British defence minister flies to Washington next week to try to break the deadlock. He says Britain will not buy the F-35 without the technology transfer. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Walmart is shopping for a new ad agency. The retailer has fired New York-based Interpublic Group Draft, FCB. This comes just days after two senior marketing executives were removed from the company. Coincidentally, the ousted execs were on the team that chose the agency. The change won't affect Walmart's current advertising, since the contract with Draft was set to begin early next year. Like Waiting for Godot, everyone has been anticipating the release of the November jobless report today. Analysts are guessing unemployment ticked up slightly last month. But Marketplace's Amy Scott says there are some who actually would like to see it go higher.
It seems counterintuitive. Why would anyone want more people out of work? Economist Mark Zandi with Moody'sEconomy.com says a tight job market drives up wages, and that has inflation hawks at the Fed nervous.
They're concerned that wage pressures are going to boil over and cause businesses to raise prices more aggressively, and that's what they want to avoid. So I think slightly higher unemployment probably would do everyone a little bit of good.
Not everyone agrees. Jared Bernstein with the labor-backed Economic Policy Institute says rising wages aren't the problem.
The inflationary pressures we have seen over the last year or so have unequivocally come from the commodity side of things, from energy costs specifically.
Ben Bernanke and company will weigh all this when they meet next week. Despite more signs of a slowdown recently, many believe the Fed is still worried enough about inflation to hold interest rates steady. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Now birth control is minty and chewable. Drug maker Warner Chilcott has unveiled a chewable version of its oral contraceptive tablet. The company says the new concept is aimed at helping women remember to take the drug. Studies show at least a third of women on birth control pills miss one or two per month. The new tablet sells for $44. Anxiety over today's unemployment numbers pulled stocks down yesterday. The Dow slid 30 points to 12,278. Some weakness in the tech sector sent the Nasdaq south. It fell 18 points to 2427. And the S&P dipped 5 points. It's at 1407. And this is Marketplace. Time to open up the Marketplace vault for a look at this week in the history of business. Today, a spot very close to our hearts here in Marketplace.
The floor of the New York Stock Exchange might sound like this now, but it wasn't always so action-packed. The exchange was born in 1792. That's when 24 stockbrokers got together under a buttonwood tree on Wall Street and formed a trading organization. At first, the big board rented a room in Lower Manhattan for $200 a month. But as the volume of stocks increased, the brokers needed a bigger place to do business. So this week, back in 1865, the NYSE moved to Broad Street, where it remains today. There have, of course, been upgrades. Around the turn of the century, a design contest was held for a new building. Architect George Post won with his neoclassical design. When it was finished, the trading floor was one of the largest spaces in the city, and probably one of the noisiest. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Free trade. It's a topic we're likely to hear a lot more about over the next few months. The U.S. wants to see trade expanded. It's acting quickly before President Bush loses his so-called fast-track authority to negotiate deals next year. Meanwhile, officials on both sides of the Atlantic have been floating a pretty expansive idea. It will relax trade restrictions between Europe and North America, the two largest trading blocs in the world. From Berlin, Ethan Lindsay reports.
Every day, $1.8 billion worth of goods ships between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. under NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. But that trading bloc will be overshadowed next year by TAFTA. It would be the mother of all trade agreements, stretching across 28 countries from eastern Poland to the American West Coast. Global trade is already a world of trouble, so why do we need another mammoth trading bloc? Peter Zion is the economist in charge of European issues for the consulting group Stratfor. He says there's a lot of theories out there, but one looms over the rest. China. It's got its thumb on the trade scale, and Western powers are looking for a counterweight.
One, you do have a rising China now. It's a China that competes at a completely different level than from what most of the Western governments and economies compete at. But it is something that's considered a threat.
The thinking goes like this. If Europe and the U.S. were to merge into one super trade zone, it would be home to most of the world's wealthiest consumers. A unified market would give rich consumers in the West a stronger hand in negotiating terms with the world's fastest-growing producer, China. German Chancellor Angela Merkel feels that hitting that trade balance is so important, some expect her to tackle the issue during her six-month run as the rotating president of the EU. That begins on January 1st. But it's a high-stakes gamble.
Whenever a European leader adopts the mantle of presidency of the European Union, they really only have a very short period of time in order to make an impression. Remember that their entire term lasts 6 months. There's very little time to get anything done.
If she picks this as the issue and then doesn't quickly get things moving, it will not only reflect poorly on her political power, but it also means Germany will have lost a rare shot at driving the EU's agenda. At a recent press conference, Merkel says she believes in the free market fundamentals of such a deal.
Europe must constitute itself and it must prove that it can create politics according to its own values in a world of more competition, in a globally transparent world. That is the big task we face.
Which is why Zion says that when she takes on the presidency, she'll be tackling the phones with the zeal of a telemarketer.
If she's going to attempt to put her mark on European-American and pan-European relations for the next decade and do it with TAFTA, she has to do one very important thing first. Contact everybody. There are going to be 27 heads of state, and she has to make sure all of them at least tacitly support the idea of free trade in some level with the United States.
And while European reaction remains murky, at least one of those phone calls will be received warmly. Susan Schwab, the U.S. trade representative, has been outspoken in favor of reopening talks on TAFTA. In Berlin, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.